the 59th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I am one of your co-hosts. I am an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, amongst other things, video games. And tonight I am joined by four fabulous co-hosts, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I got totally thrown off there.
Yeah.
All right, who's going first?
I will. My name is Adelaine. I'm a PhD candidate at Purdue University, about to hit the job market, and I study gender in the video game industry. Yeah.
Woohoo!
And I'm hosting a barbecue at my house right now.
Yeah, there you go.
And yeah. Sam and Alicia are here.
Drinking.
Yeah, drinking.
We'll get to that. I guess I'll go next. I am Alicia Carabinas. I am an MFA student at Purdue University in the creative writing side, where everyone respects us less, and we will make less money unless we publish great books.
Yeah,
I write
you guys
fiction?
Make money?
No. Oh. Especially if not if you're a poet. That's why I write fiction, because someday I might make a little.
Like a dollar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like seven. my husband, though, is going to be an engineer, so I'm covered.
That's good.
Anyway... though I write fiction and am a lesser human being than these other ladies, I do have a long history of studying games, writing about games, playing games, and in general being obsessed with games. So I'm here with them. They tolerate me.
So far. That was a horrible creaky noise.
That was my door.
Yeah.
That was creepy.
We're going to put up with the noises because in a little... like an hour, we're gonna have amazing smoked ribs and chicken, and
y'all will be jealous.
Yeah,
it's true.
I don't know about that.
What?
So I'm Nicole Marie, and I'm a gamer who likes to talk critically about them with these lovely ladies, and I also work at a bank. So yay!
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 Hey, it's a job, though.
Right.
In which you get paid.
This is true. Money is good, especially when you have to get your windshield replaced and you have to pay out of pocket for it.
Dang. Oh, nice.
Yep.
Gross. Okay, so I'm Sarah. I am a undergraduate student at Purdue University, double majoring in creative writing and professional writing. So I'm combining the best of both worlds. And unfortunately, my fiancé is also a writer, so perhaps we will also be on this sort of...
I hope you got love.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
And a shared love of gaming, so it works out really well.
Right on.
Nice.
Sweet.
All right. So we'll start this week as we start every week with what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking. And we will start with the wonderful question, what you're playing, and we'll start with the illustrious Alex Lane.
Illustrious. I like that. Mm. All right, so what happened to me is, well, I was on vacation the last 2 weeks, as you guys know, traveling around and eating barbecue at many different states. And I played Night of the Rabbit, some Night of the Rabbit in the car. I played a lot of iOS games because we were out and about. I see some smoked meat walking by right now.
Damn.
That's not like a name for you. I just actually walked by with one of the smoke rods. I'm sorry, I'm really hungry. Okay, so let's see. So I played Night of the Rabbit in the car lot, but I played a lot of iOS games. I'd never played Dungeon Defenders on the iOS, and I started playing that, and it's pretty fun. The mechanics are kind of interesting because, like, when you put your... you steer by, like, your... like thumb being on the screen, and it's like crazy responsive to your thumb. Like you move it, you like just go like this, like a little tiny bit, and you're like walking forward.
Because everyone can see you doing that.
Yeah, right. I know, but you guys can't. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I see your thumb.
So I played that, and then I played Gateways, which is basically like an indie remake of Portal. That's not really quite as good, but it's still fun if you love Portal. It's basically a continuation of Portal. I also, I played a few minutes of Remember Me. That was going to be my main game I played for today, but then I started playing Don't Starve. And of the last 24 hours, I think I've played 12, or last day and a half, I've played 12 hours of it. I've been kind of obsessed with it, which is my indie game of the week, which I'll talk about in a little while. But also, while I was on vacation, I played the new-ish Settler of Catan board game expansion, Traders and Barbarians. The best part about the expansion is that it comes with a two-player set.
Awesome.
So, boom, right? And they have a... It's kind of interesting because they have, like, four different expansions in it, so, like, four different games. Because he writes, like, the guy who came up with it writes in the beginning that everyone keeps wanting expansions on the original game. Like, that's what people want, just variations. They want to play regular Catan with a variation. So that's what he did. It's, like, a set of four different variations you can play on regular Catan. So you, there's, like, a fish expansion, and then there's, like, this, like, coin expansion thing. So there's a bunch of different kind of little games. It's not one big comprehensive expansion like Cities and Knights are, so it's not, like, another, a whole other game. It's, like, a bunch of little ways of playing original Catan. It's really fun. Not as good as Knights and Cities, a little better than Seafarers, is what I think. But two-player. There's a two-player.
There's a two-player outlet. I'm sold. Putting it on my Amazon cart right now.
Yeah. So, we haven't done the two-player yet, but we will be shortly. So, that's what I played.
Yay. Great. Alicia, what you playing?
Well, no surprise, anybody who's read my post this week, I played The Last of Us. I hold some very unpopular views on The Last of Us. The more I think about the game, the less popular those views are going to become. I expect. But I'm going to talk about it a little more next week, so I don't want to talk too much about it tonight unless we're going to have a discussion about it, in which case I'll be very vehement. And I want to say I like the game. I do. It's a great game. It's a solid game. I played the hell out of the game. There's some extraordinarily frustrating and, I think, ill-designed moments. But overall, it's a good game. It is not the Citizen Kane, quote-unquote, of the gaming industry. It is not deserving of 10s across the board. It's definitely flawed. That doesn't mean it's not a hell of an experience, but it's definitely flawed.
That's what I've heard, like, gamers, friends of mine that I've had forever who... are academics and usually pretty critical about games. They said it's the best game ever made, the best game they've ever played, etc., etc.
Anybody who thinks that this is the best game ever, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't even know how to react to you in that. It's so flawed in moments. That's not to say, again, it's not really, really good and really engaging. But the Errant Signal review that I linked in my post, it talked about being kind of a mishmash of other games. The more I think about it, the more accurate I think that is. There are moments that are literally pulled directly from other media. For instance, not to spoil anything, a very small moment, they see some giraffes, and it is almost direct shot for shot, like from Jurassic Park. Like you just,
it is.
Like,
that part killed me.
Instead of giraffes.
Almost is exactly. It really?
Yeah. There's so many moments like that where you just see it ripped off.
Okay. Well, you know, okay, so for you, is it, you're like, okay.
What happened?
Nothing.
Oh.
Is it for you just the narrative-y brokenness, or is it the mechanic-y brokenness?
Actually, kind of both.
Okay.
The mechanics more so for me. Some of the fights really depend on, like, timing. You have to hit that exact moment. You don't have any real agency. You don't have any creativity. You follow exact paths, and I find that really limiting. But the narrative, too, really seems strung together from every other similar story like this ever. And that's my real flaw in narrative styles in gaming, especially being a writer. You don't see a lot of originality. And I think that that's what's limiting us when it comes to the games as art argument.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting thing is that I almost quit playing the game in the first hour or so that I was actually playing it. Because do you remember that? It happens right at the beginning of the game, pretty much. When, oh my God, I have not been drinking that much.
The main guy? Who are you looking for?
Yeah.
Joel?
Joel. I'm like, blah. Joel and super strong woman.
Tess. You could just call her the Lady Hulk.
Lady Hulk. When Joel and Lady Hulk are kind of, when they're first leaving the city, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going through, and there's that part where you have to find a very specific like pixel that's hidden on your 50-inch fucking TV screen.
You have
screen,
to click the triangle,
right? And hit exactly that spot in order to progress. And there's nothing that's really an indication that that's what you need to do.
No.
Right? And that is not something that is so ingrained in your typical game grammar that you knew exactly what you were looking for. But there's nothing in the game that tells you necessarily that's what you're looking for. And it is so, I won't say well hidden, I'm going to say poorly hidden.
Yeah.
Right? That it was like, I was sitting there for like 20 minutes going,
I think I know exactly the spot
it's going
talking about.
On. And it was driving me absolutely nuts. I was like, I'm never going to finish this game if this whole game is like this.
And it's not. It becomes a little more obvious, I think, later on.
It does.
But there are some moments like that where you really are just finally reduced to scrolling around, like looking here and there, until you find the triangle icon that pops up. And I think that that is an incredibly stupid design decision.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to pull any punches on that one. But there are moments that are extraordinarily emotional, that are beautiful. It's great. There are some that are played like they're really emotional, but after what you've just done in the game, there's definitely some dissonance there. Like, this is not a great moment of change, considering I killed, like, 15 guys to get here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, I said I wasn't
talking about it. And I'm not going to talk about race issues in the game yet.
Oh, you have some things you're going to talk about later?
Next time.
I'm excited.
Well, maybe we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later / next time / one day.
Yeah, we can do a Last of Us episode.
I think we should.
And there will probably be a post coming from me on it at some point, too.
I'm playing it then.
I have to claim the race issue.
That's racist. Anyway, I also played, of course, in Candy Crush because these evil women got me into it. Played a little Katamari because I felt like it randomly and realized that the Katamari since the PlayStation 2 just hasn't been as good.
No.
And I'm sad. Because it was so good.
And I have never liked that game.
Really?
I haven't either.
How would you
not love frustrating.
Especially when it's like cows and stuff, your little cedar wiggling
legs. It's
amazing, but somehow they ruined it after the PS2.
It's amazing if you're five.
Shut up. My husband and I, after juggling, finally just said fuck it and combined and played one game. We just took turns. We had both beaten it separately and done different things, but we wanted to have one good holistic game that we did together before they released the sandbox mode. My son decided he wanted to play Halo ODST, so we did a little of that just together. We didn't play, you know, with anyone else, just to teach him to run around and everything and to fly the ghost, which he liked. And a friend of mine found an online Cards Against Humanity server, so we've been playing the hell out of that.
Oh, wow.
It's so rude and crude and wonderful. I love it. Anyway, that's it for me.
All right. Sarah, what you playing?
Well, I continue to play Animal Crossing New Leaf. But it's still, like, my everyday sort of thing.
Don't we all?
Yeah. It's very addicting. I just finally got the club LOL and also the cafe, so that's pretty fun. Except it's like always only me in the club awkwardly, so that's kind of sad. But I also played a little bit of Slender the Arrival. I still can't make it entirely through the game, but I'm trying. My roommate came to visit me, and so I like to play like multiplayer sort of games with her, and so I went back through my library of games, and I found the very first game that my parents bought me and my brother for the PS2 when we got it for Christmas.
We're about to feel real old here.
Yeah. It was Cookies and Cream, or Cookie and Cream, something like that.
Yeah.
It's a cute little two-player game, and it's all about teamwork, so you need two people to play it. And I think that's why my parents bought it for us, so that we wouldn't be competing over the attention of the PS2. Sure. And the whole thing is that you do like one thing on one side of the screen that helps the other person get through something on the other side of the screen. So you like constantly need to be communicating with each other and working together there, or there's no way that you're going to get through it. And it's pretty cute. It's really frustrating sometimes because it is pretty difficult for like a little kid's game, but It's still pretty fun. And then also I stumbled upon this indie game about a woman who is pregnant while she's in jail, and she gets, like, framed for the murder of her cellmate, called 9 months In. And I haven't gotten through very far of it yet because, unfortunately, I've, like, hit some sort of error where it won't let read my saved file. So that was kind of frustrating. So I was kind of frustrated with that. So I haven't gotten very far yet. But it's kind of interesting. But I'm not sure if it's the voice acting or if the dialogue is just really awkwardly written. But it just kind of comes off a little strange to me. But I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see where they go with it. So I'll pick it up when I stop being frustrated that the error happened.
I want to hear more about that because that sounds really interesting. Or it could be incredibly problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had heard it. I think I saw it on Kotaku, actually. And then I had heard that people were, like, praising it because of its narrative. But so I was kind of curious, and it's just a really simple, like, there's nothing any super graphically spectacular or anything. It's mostly mostly story, I'd say. But yeah, it is interesting so far. It's like she's like on her 9th month of pregnancy, and she's in jail for a murder, but she says she didn't commit the murder. That there's, like, this person that was framing her, that she thinks is framing her. But then she wakes up one morning and her cellmate is dead. And she's really, and she, like, talks about how her cellmate's, like, her best friend. But yet she seems upset to an extent, but I just feel like she doesn't seem upset enough if it was, like, her best friend. I guess, I don't know. But that might all just really be the voice acting because it's not anything, like, super skilled or anything. It just sounds like kind of like a fan-made sort of thing. So, but I'm still curious to see where it goes.
Sounds interesting.
You have to keep us updated.
Yeah, tell us how it works.
Okay, I will.
I'm gonna check it out though too. So,
it's free too. So
that makes it even better.
Free. It's my favorite price point.
All right,
Nicole.
So I'm playing. Let's see. First, I'm playing the usual things, Candy Crush and Clash of Clans. Candy Crush is still soul-sucking, and I'm playing it now on two devices, my Android phone and my iPad, so that's super exciting. And the other thing that I've been continuously playing for a long time now, or it feels like a long time, is Clash of Clans on the iPad. And it's one of those things that you have to really keep up with because I've been totally slacking and I can't keep up with my resources. So if you don't collect them often enough, if they get maxed out, they stop collecting resources. So I've been playing a lot of that because everything costs a crap ton of money and I cannot collect enough resources to keep up with all of it. And then off of Alicia's, I also played Cards Against Humanity. I have the physical version with all three expansions, including the Christmas expansion. So we play that whenever my boyfriend comes into town and me and my siblings feel like drinking. So that's a good game to play while you're drunk. Everyone gets offensive.
I like drunk Dixit.
Yeah. It's
a fun game.
Dixit is fun. Really drunk, sober.
Yeah.
We were really just trying to be as offensive as we could when we were playing online the other day. It was fun. We had people from all over the country just like pounding in, like, oh yeah, the answer is always bigger dicks for white people. Nice.
It's definitely a goal around here, like. Whoever is the most offensive or the most terrible is usually the winner because we're terrible people. But and then I re-downloaded my Game Boy Advance emulator onto my phone. So I've been playing Castlevania Aria of Sorrow because...
Fuck yeah, you have.
Yeah, why not? So that's been fun. I was looking into downloading a few more Game Boy Advance games, but I can't think of any of the ones that were like my all-time favorites that I had solely on Game Boy Advance. So maybe if listeners have some favorites, they can tell me and I'll download some.
I am a listener, but also a speaker.
Uh-huh.
Solely on Game Boy, but may I recommend a little Monster Rancher action?
I don't know if it's going to be on there.
Monster Rancher.
Should I don't be. Know if it's on there. I'm going to check and download it, because I can get them offline, too. So I just have to check multiple places, but...
Not that game I advocate the use of emulators or files or anything like that, but I do advocate the shit out of Monster Rancher.
Check it out. And then also kind of a trip down memory lane, just because we were talking about our favorite female pro tags, even though, well, I won't say. But I picked up my boyfriend's copy of The Orange Box. He had it for 360, even though he owned the PlayStation. I don't know how that works out. But so I've been playing Half-Life 2 with both expansions are on there, Portal and then Team Fortress 2, because also, why the hell not? Mm-hmm. Fantastic games.
Oh, yes.
So that's what I've been playing.
Fun. Very cool. Well, I guess that leaves me. And I have to say, and I've said this before, and it's probably very apparent to everyone, Animal Crossing has eaten my soul. I have played so much fucking Animal Crossing, and not just with my kid, because that would be different, mm-hmm. right? Because then I'd have an excuse. But no, after she goes to bed, I have the late night ordinance on my town, so my stores are open until 2:00 in the morning.
Oh, nice.
And I'm playing until my stores close. Mm-mm. It's bad. It's really bad. It's gotten so bad, because you've seen it now, I made a pro design of the Not Your Mama's Gamer t-shirt for your Animal Crossing avatar. Yeah, I'm going to need an intervention soon, so.
I got you.
Hey, don't worry about it. I could, like, legitimately beetle farm, like, the whole night.
Exactly. Go to the island, get the late night beetles.
All the beetles.
There you go.
You can come home with, like, each trip is like around 400,000 bells, and I can usually fit in two each night before retail closes. So,
see, that's because your retail closes early. Mine doesn't close till 2.
Yeah, that's true. You're even better. Yeah, I went with the no, the beautiful one, so I wouldn't have to deal with all the trash.
See, that's helpful. But so yeah, Animal Crossing, lots and lots and lots of Animal Crossing. We're also kind of sporadically playing Ni No Kuni as we play through a second time.
Oh, I forgot. We started playing Ni No Kuni.
Yes, you did.
Your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. It is. And then after the Steam sale, I actually decided to start playing some of the games that I purchased this time around. So I played a bit of The Dream Machine, which is the clay and cardboard point-and-click adventure.
Okay.
It's a point-and-click adventure game everything's made out of clay and cardboard. I gotta say, I don't love it.
Yeah. Well, it's not more than it is, you know? It's like those kind of little...
But I like point-and-click adventure games. Point-and-click adventure games have always been my shit. I'm not loving this one. So. I am not loving this one.
It's not as bad as Loom.
No. Loom wasn't bad. Loom was not bad.
It was just 10 minutes
long. It was just like, as soon as you get to what you think is the end of the first level, it was like, game over. And I was like, wait, that was like the tutorial, right?
And you needed esoteric knowledge of pianos.
Yeah, music and, yeah, reading music and all kinds of crazy shit. They made it as difficult as they possibly could. Yeah, actually, I think I had to look up at least one or two puzzles in that one, because it was crazy that you did need like this weird esoteric knowledge of just like random shit. well, that was in and of itself, but it was a pretty game. I'm not even quite sure how pretty the Dream Machine is, because it just kind of looks muddy. But I guess that's because they kind of used, you know, clay. But anyway, I've also played a bit of the Book of Unwritten Tales, which is another point-and-click adventure game that I got on at the Steam sale. It's actually pretty fun. It's got some pretty cute elvish slash hobbity characters in it. And that's been a lot of fun so far. I'm thinking I'm going to like that one a bit. And there's another game, I think that was done by the same company that I was going to buy on the Steam sale, The Whispering World, I think it was. And I had put it in my cart to buy it on the Steam sale on the last day of the Steam sale because I had seen some reference to it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy that one. And then somehow I walked away from my computer without buying it. And the price jumped $15 after the Steam sale was over. So I didn't get it. I'm unhappy now. But anyway, that being said, the other thing that I've been playing is Scribblenauts Unlimited. Because
did you see what Strance wrote about Scribblenauts Unlimited?
No, what did he write?
He had he put in Rhetor, and he had him fight a philosopher, and the Rhetors lose to the philosopher.
No.
And yep. And what was the other thing? Like a Rhetor comes up with a ancient Greek looking person.
Yeah.
But yeah, they Rhetor loses to the philosopher.
Oh, fuck that.
I know. Fuck that.
We're way meaner.
We're assholes. Also, are we not going to win in a fight? Please.
Also, I just totally put myself into that box, so I guess they better accept me when I apply.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. Scribblenauts kind of has a place near and dear to my heart. That was my kid's first game when she was 18 months old. And she's been eyeing Scribblenauts Unlimited for the longest, on the DS, because they have, Unlimited on the 3DS. So I bought it on the Steam sale. I don't even think it's as good as the first one, but, you know, I'm a little biased. Like I said, I'm kind of nostalgic for the first one, because I had a little bitty 18-month-old baby who was walking Maxwell around and doing her thing on the DS, which made me very happy. I think that's pretty much about all I've been playing, because like I said, Animal Crossing is sucking my soul dry, and I'm really going to have to do something about that. I mean, because I will literally sit down in my game room in front of the TV, turn the 360 or the PS3 on, and while an update is running or something, I will pick up Animal Crossing and be like, I'm just going to play this until it starts, and then 3 hours later...
I have never understood the fucking attraction to Animal Crossing. I don't get it.
You know, Animal Crossing, it did this to me the first time it was on the DS.
I played it, and then I thought, this is really boring. And I stopped playing it.
There's something real wrong with you.
They clearly don't understand.
They don't understand. They don't understand at all.
I guess I'm a depressed human being.
It just, sucks attention away from other games, too. It's just you start thinking you're going to play something, you're like, then Animal Crossing comes in, and it's like, no, you should probably play Animal Crossing.
It's like, no, I'm over here. Play me.
No, I feel that way about State of Decay, because it is persistent, you're losing, food even when you're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would jump in and be like, shit, I got to feed my people. But I don't like feeling that kind of sense of obligation to a game. I don't want to feel that way. So that's one of the reasons I think I was not that into Animal Crossing back in the day when it was on the DS the first time.
Yeah, because you get weeds and stuff in your town if you don't go in regularly and pluck the weeds and do things like that.
Yeah, I wanted a fucking Tamagotchi.
Your flowers will die.
I like Tamagotchi style games.
I love Tamagotchi.
I played Animal Crossing in 2 weeks. I'm so bored with it.
Oh, there's something real wrong with you.
I support you, Alex.
Mine is horrible because my obsession grows. I bought the game guide. I bought the game guide for me and for P. I never use a game guide.
For real.
But P wanted it, so we bought the game guide because she wanted to read about the game. I'm not gonna discourage my child from reading.
Right.
So I bought her the game guide. Also, I've joined an Animal Crossing community on Facebook.
You have to be stopped.
So I'm online, like, trading things with people and visiting other people's towns. Mm. So it's become a more communal kind of thing for me.
We got to go to her house and take this shit away from her house.
Sold. Okay. We'll drive right now.
I fucking pinky swear on this.
I'm not like Sarah. I'm not dancing in my club by myself. There are other people around.
Damn. Don't judge me. How do you feel about that, Sarah?
I know. Don't judge me.
But instead of getting angry, Sarah will just be like, can I get a pin on this community?
Right. Watch. Right.
I know. I was like, you're talking about taking away from her. I was thinking, you should give me the guidebook. Like, I'll take it.
I'll take all her stuff and give it to you, Sarah. Don't worry.
So that's what I've been playing. Yeah. What you reading, folks?
I'll go first. Nothing. I spent all my time on a pontoon in the sun, drinking beer.
You know, like, prime time for reading.
Yeah.
Listen.
Well, since Alex has been a slacker and not read anything, apparently, what about the rest of y'all? What you reading?
I just read a lot of fiction.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a lot of fiction going right now.
It's summer.
It is summer.
Yeah.
Great yeah, time. This month I'm going to get, well, August, I'm going to get real serious about working on research again with applications looming over my head for more advanced degrees. But right now I am still teaching for the summer, so that takes up a lot of time. Students, like, want grades and stuff, so I have to provide that. Yeah, assholes. Then I have to play all that The Last of Us
yeah.
so that I can write about it. So
yeah.
When you got time?
That's true.
When
I mean, What am I? You know what? I'm so bad. I'm not. Not only am I not reading.
Why are you calling me slacker?
But wait, because I had never finished Ready Player One, reading it, because borrowed it from the library on my Kindle and it expired before I finished reading it. I downloaded the audiobook.
Will Wheaton.
And Will Wheaton is reading it. Which is actually really good. So I've been listening to Will Wheaton. Damn, see? Have another drink. Will Wheaton read Ready Player One. And it's awesome. It is like 8 million hours long. But I've been listening to it.
8 million hours.
It's like 8 million hours long. And I'm listening to it.
I can't do audio.
I started it from the beginning. I love audiobooks.
Well, when I'm traveling.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of audiobooks.
I'm usually not. I'm like you. When I'm traveling or doing a lot of driving back and forth, like commuting, I'm fine with, because I listen to podcasts all the time. Yeah. So, you know, audiobooks are not a big jump between one another for me.
I can't focus on an audiobook. I need to have that shit in front of me, but I'm a very visual person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if somebody's just lecturing in the classroom or something, I am doodling, drawing, not paying attention. No offense to every teacher I've had ever.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my students should not do that, because I will kick their faces in. But I have a really hard time following an audiobook without having something in front of me.
Well, I have to knit when I'm listening to someone. Like, if I go to conferences, I knit, because it helps me focus. Otherwise, as soon as, like, 5 minutes in, I zone out, and I am likely to fall the fuck asleep. Even if I'm wide awake.
I can't even tell you how many conference presentations we've been in where Sam fell asleep.
That's hilarious.
And then I elbow her.
What an asshole.
It's horrible. Well, I can't focus. If someone is just talking at me and I'm not doing something to help me focus, you lose me immediately.
We've also been to some bad conference presentations.
We have. But you have to admit, if I'm knitting or doing something, I'm fine.
Unless you're on your migraine medicine, then you knit and fall asleep at the same time.
I try not to take my migraine medicine when I'm doing anything else.
So anybody reading anything
Sarah?
No.
We're awesome. How about drinking? We're drinking.
Yeah, all right.
We can take you. Shout out to Mike for biking down and getting us ice.
Yes, yay.
Yay.
Thank you for the ice.
Cheers.
In case you have not noticed, Alex, Alicia and I are actually sitting in the same room because Alex and her lovely husband are hosting us and feeding us, and we are drinking the infamous sneaky.
The official drink.
The official.
It is now the official drink of Not Your Mama's Gamer, as Alicia
likes it.
Likes it.
Oh, I'm the bastion of taste right here.
Well, because we couldn't make it the official drink. Well, we have to test Sarah out. Except for, see, she's still so young. That makes me nervous giving her alcohol. Sarah, like
10? No, it's okay.
She's legal. She's legal, barely. But still. I'm old enough to be her mama, so it makes me kind of nervous to give her alcohol.
Two of my classes.
I will say that the sneaky sneaky is better than I expected.
Like a peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
No.
Ew.
Don't you
excuse
dare.
Me, what? Peanut butter and pickle sandwich? You.
That sounds gross.
In the game.
Alicia, Alex likes to eat peanut butter and pickle sandwiches and then tries to force them on other people.
That's fucking weird, Alex.
It is weird. I love pickles,
listen,
too. So.
Listen, no one can make fun of it until you try it. It's delicious.
I can make fun of it, and I'm never going to try it.
Yeah. That's
I'm also not going to eat human flesh because it sounds real gross.
I feel like there's maybe a middle ground between human flesh and peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. However, what are you guys drinking? Oh, God. Did we lose them?
No.
No.
Oh, my internet's so bad. I'm sorry. What are you guys drinking?
What are you drinking, guys? Because the three of us are drinking the same thing. We make
and
it easy.
I do feel like it's prudent to say that if there's any weird pauses or strange inflections, it's because three of us are in the same room and there's like a strange echo, backbeat, weird shit going on. So sometimes we're like, did we lose them? What's going on? Is anybody talking? Because we don't know what
Also, we're drinking.
That too.
The drinking really helps us.
Someone's dog is barking.
Sorry, that's my dog.
Oh, that was kind of cute, actually.
There's like a suspicious guy with a net outside, and I guess it's like not okay with my dog.
Like a net.
Is he catching beetles on your trees? That's all I need to know.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It's like a big net.
Oh my God, you can't tell the difference between the real world and Animal Crossing anymore.
When I was playing, like, Don't Starve for, like, 10 hours straight, I walked outside and I saw these tufts of grass, and I was like, oh, I should harvest that. Oh. Wait.
Dang it, this is the real world.
So, are you guys drinking?
I have a Killian's Irish Red.
Nice.
I have a Smirnoff Ice.
Yay! I thought she was going to say, I have Kool-Aid.
Smirnoff.
No, I don't have any Kool-Aid.
It's Jolly Rancher in it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Sprees are delicious.
Sprees are gross.
Can I tell you the story about my friends cleaning out my office this weekend? So I'm moving offices and they're putting a copier in my office. So, but this happened while I was out of town. So Patty and a couple other people moved my desk for me. So they opened up one of my drawers and it was completely filled with runts. But just the purple and green runts, because I don't like them.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Alex?
She went to go to my desk. She opens the drawer and it's like completely full of runts and she's like, fuck this, I need some help. She, like,
speaking of people who are 12.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Okay, so news.
News. Well, I've been bashed for it all coming from Kotaku. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck you, Kotaku.
Yeah. So I have, one that I don't know if anyone else really cared about this, but for me, I kind of cared because it was interesting to see this debate go back and forth and people getting pissy about it, but Call of Duty Ghosts will actually be coming to the Wii U, so yay for that. I know they were saying for a while, people were like, oh my God, why won't they put it on this console, so you're getting it.
I don't really give any fucks for Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Too violent for you?
I like Call of Duty.
I do too.
Don't get it twisted. I'm so pissed about Ghosts though.
I am too.
You know, you can give me dogs, but you still can't give me a woman.
Yep. Yeah, I know.
See, this is real wartime, okay?
And there are lots of dogs fighting in Iraq right now.
There's just so many problems. Also, most of the fan base for Call of Duty are people I want to punch in the face.
Hey,
yeah,
sitting right here.
Well,
and I haven't even fed you yet.
That's true. I play Call of Duty
right now.
Yep.
No, I don't mean you guys, obviously. I mean, you know, the pro gamers who are all like, all I play is Call of Duty because it's like the only game that matters. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
That's true. So.
Silence. just shut down podcast since 2013.
Yeah. Yoo-hoo! Well, you just nailed it, so it didn't matter.
Drop the mic.
Done. All right, so then I'm going to do a shout-out to Ricky for this news little tidbit here, because he literally posted it to Gamers All right before we started recording. Fez 2 has been canceled due to outrageous Twitter conversation where, I don't even know how to put it, children can't handle.
Don't get fucking sticky about it, Nicole.
I mean, make of it what you will, but basically what it was is the, and now I can only think of his last name, Fish.
Are we talking about the criticizer?
Beer, Fish, and Blow.
We can just call him Fish.
That's what it is. It's Beer, Fish, and
Blow. Fish.
I'm surprised they have an eagle problem to come
here. It's Beer, Fish, and Blow. So Phil Fish. Who is the founder of Polytron. Basically gets just lumped in with Jonathan Blow by
Marcus Beer.
I mean, he says poked him out because I think we've talked about Jonathan Blow on here before and how
We have. I'm sure
much we enjoy him. But he's kind of a self-righteous asshole. So.
Blow.
Or he can be, at the very least.
For sure.
And so Beer lumped Fish in with Jonathan Blow, and he said that they were kind of complaining about the...
They were bitching and moaning.
Yeah, bitching and moaning is the direct quote. Bitching and moaning. And here, I'll just read. About a reasonable media request for their reaction to a significant industry development.
Shout out to Kotaku for this.
Yeah.
I like this one comment in here says, "Goodbye, Fish. I liked your game, but you are a pretentious, toxic, hipster piece of shit."
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Nice.
So he gets trolled a little bit, and he basically can't handle it. So he takes to Twitter. He tells Beer to go kill himself.
Can I do a dramatic reading of these tweets?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Are we ready for this?
Yeah. Right.
Thanks for telling me to go kill myself. I will be at PAX if you want to talk on cam. That was Marcus Beer to Phil Fish.
You made it sound like sexy. I don't think it was supposed to be sexy.
But Phil Fish responds with, "I fucking hate this industry." I'm done. Fest 2 is canceled. Goodbye. All right, there. That was not sexy at all.
Probably because he just didn't want to make Fest 2, I imagine.
I mean, seriously, come on.
Yeah.
What grown up does
are
that?
Grown ass man or what?
Yeah.
Not really.
No, not anymore.
All right, it pretty much involved in this quote-unquote scandal, I hereby revoke your fucking ball privileges.
Yeah.
You got I have them?
Taken.
Yeah, we'll take them.
I like it.
Yeah, we take
them. We'll put them on a mud flap or something.
Hang them on the back of your truck.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
So, yeah, and then I guess Kotaku even went so far as to reach out to him and be like, "Are you serious?" And he said, "Yeah, it's just not worth it anymore."
Which, in his defense, as devil's advocate, I will say that this industry, in particular, and its fans, are sometimes a cavalcade of bitches. And I use that in, like, the more generic, non-female-specific bitches way. People complain, they're extraordinarily entitled, they want everything all at once, but they don't want to pay anything for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know that going in. you know that the industry is like that, and sometimes you just have to accept that people are going to be total assholes and ignore them.
Right. But the also the thing is okay, so yeah, that is how this industry is. What about that? Did he, I mean, he experienced one tiny little portion of it, and suddenly he can't handle it? It's like, dude.
Yeah, we're used to it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, because to be a woman working in or around this industry, you're already used to taking 10 times the shit.
So,
and God forbid you're black or Hispanic. Or anything not white, period.
The one black person.
Let me just put this out there. To Phil Fish, the ladies of Not Your Mama's Gamer say, vagina up, motherfucker.
Edge up. Edge up, motherfucker. I love it. Can we title our podcast that?
I was going to say, that's got to be the name of the podcast.
A good one.
Just remember this when we're done.
Sneaky, sneaky bitches.
And it shall
Y'all
be.
Y'all should not give me vodka.
Okay, I should do my indie game.
Our indie game of the week is...
Don't Starve.
Always good advice.
Yeah, that's true. So this is an open world survival game. You wake up the actual art of the game is really pretty. It's an indie game. It's very hand-drawn style, right? Kind of alternative. Very cute. I can see Sarah is copying it right now to go paste it into Google. So it's an open-world survival game. You wake up, and you need to start farming your little environment to try and get food. And then it's like mine. If Minecraft was good, it would.
Suck. You're gonna lose followers for that comment, Alex.
And nope. It would be Don't Starve. It's the one thing that I'm struggling the most with it is it's a roguelike. So when you die, you die. You don't have two lives. You don't have nothing like that. You die, and you start a brand new game with a new character from scratch. So it's really difficult. And as you go through, though, you kind of level up and you get new characters open. So, like, there's one character who's a pyromaniac. There's one character who's terrified of the dark but super strong so he can fight off monsters. There's a character who's haunted by her dead twin. It's kind of weird. But they have, like, different powers and whatever.
That's how I was always wanting to be haunted by my dead twin.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It looks like... Tim Burton, very Tim Burton-esque.
That's a perfect way to describe it. It's like, if Tim Burton made a video game, it would be this. So you go around and you try to collect stuff. You can, like, keep collecting things. You can eventually get stone and make walls, just like you would in the other types of games like this. There's also randomly generated maps, so every single time you start a new game, it's random.
Tim Burton does roguelikes.
Yeah, Tim.
Sold.
It is. It really is. And I've been obsessed with it. As that person could probably attest to. Like, I can't do anything except think about playing this game and play this game. It's really, really hard. The longest I've made it so far is 17 days I'm on with one of my characters. And I'm probably going to die really soon. So. But it's awesome. You should check it out. I got it at the Steam sale, but I think it's still only like $15 or something. So, I would say of most of the indie games I've reviewed, this is definitely in the top five. I really like
really?
It.
Really?
It looks really neat.
It's very neat.
So buy it, and if you don't like it, blame Alex Lane.
And then troll the developers on the Twitter feed so they
can never make a second one.
Yeah. What? Oh. So, issue?
Yeah, before we start that.
I can just go. We'll do you last. Alicia has to go to the bathroom. She drank too much vodka.
Oh my God.
She was trying to be quiet about it.
On the podcast. Guys, I have to pee.
Why don't you bring your computer with you?
You got Skype on your phone. Just take it with you.
Well, I just don't want to miss any of the,
issues. Well, we'll do a slow workup.
It'll be fine. Oh, it's back there to the right.
So, our issue of the week, because we've been talking so much about certain games the last couple of weeks, things like The Last of Us and Remember Me, and those have been the two big ones that we've talked about. And we've had questions about games that have good, strong female protagonists and whether or not we would do our new 1 hour reviews that are going to be starting in August.
We're
still debating on a title for it. Power Hour or
Game Sprint. I like Power Hour.
Game Sprint, yeah. To see which one works. But to play the games for one solid hour and then do a review based on that 1 hour play. As best we can, right? Because we're going to commit to that 1 hour. Because you could tell in the first hour whether or not you like a game. But what we decided to do this time was to, we've talked about it before, but to do it again because it's been a while. Because, you know, hell, we're almost 60 episodes in. Look back over our favorite games or look back over a whole series of games and talk about our two favorite strong female protagonists in games. You know, some people will say that's fairly simple because you got a short list to work from. but then at the same time, it also makes it very difficult because you have to choose two. Or somebody may choose to say, no, they all suck.
I kind of thought about that.
Wait, well, who's saying that?
Across it, but I thought Sam would kick me off the podcast.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I would fuck you up.
I know, because
Sam, you're not on this. You didn't type in your lady list.
No, I did not type in my lady list. And Alicia and I took our kids to the park for a picnic and the play at the playground today. And I didn't tell her then either.
I tried real hard.
It's a secret.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not going first.
All right.
Alicia, go.
Okay, I actually pulled a lot of ladies, but I'm only going to give my first two. And then I might mention some others because I think one of mine might be doubled by someone who was playing the Orange Box recently. Because my number one all time on the lady list is Chell from Portal.
Yep.
Nicole, did you need to wait?
Yeah, she was going to, I was typing her in and then I looked at yours and I was like, damn it. So, but
you can share.
Yeah, that's true. We could share. Okay.
Here's why I like Chell so much, okay? Because not only is she a woman that we play as, we see through her eyes, but there's no issue made about it. Mm-hmm. You only see her occasionally through like a portal. Mm-hmm. There's no big deal. When you do see her, she's not overly feminized. She's just in her little suit, whatever. But it's also a totally female game, right? Like there's nothing male about this game. There's no male influence really in the purple. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's woman-on-woman violence. It's awesome. It's such a good, strong game. Oh, Nicole?
I agree with all of that. I think one of the biggest things for me in picking her was playing through her eyes and not being... And it not being a fact of you having chosen that she was female, but you played through her eyes because that was your only option.
Right.
And she's good for that. And also because Portal is a game that is like, I don't know. I think Portal's a game that people look at and they're like, this is a fantastic game. And that there's
nothing wrong with Portal. It's perfect.
Well, I don't think so, but... But I think people... Nobody makes a big deal out of Chell being our protagonist for this game.
No.
So, she doesn't catch any flack for it. She's a woman. She takes down this huge evil corporation. I mean, she's awesome.
It's an amazing game. Plus, we get that really kicking song at the end of it, so...
Yeah.
And then my number two was kind of a tie because I thought nobody was going to pick either of these. So I'm going to go rogue and just say both of them. Joanna Dark from Perfect Dark, but only on the N64.
I was going to say from 360?
Okay. After that, no, things get really creepy and titty-fied and I'm not down. But
very how creepy.
Be like a spiritual successor to GoldenEye, to Rare's efforts there and having her take on that role of being a spy and infiltrating in the co-op where you played like the extra Joanna that was different hair. Everything about that was great. And again, it was an issue where her gender didn't really come up that much. You just played her, and she was a spy, and she was badass.
Mm-hmm.
My tie for number two is one where the gender does become an issue at times. It's Zoe from Left 4 Dead.
Mm.
There's a couple of moments where she says things like, oh, you guys are going to let the girl go and do this stuff? Oh, I can't believe you're going to make the girl do it. Of course, you get different dialogue depending on who you're playing as. I always play as Zoe because she's my female choice. I gravitate toward the girls when I can.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also a great representation of the geek audience, right? Because she says so many wacky things. She references so many things. Like, she references Planet of the Apes and all kinds of crazy shit. She's funny. She's capable. Yeah, they give her the quote-unquote girly weapons in the video. She has pistols. But, of course, when you're playing a game, your Zoe can be whatever you want it to be. And as a huge devotee of the Left 4 Dead franchise, I find Rochelle as a spiritual successor lacking because she doesn't swear. Fuck her.
Son yeah, fuck her.
Not cool. She makes sense. She's well-voiced. Both of them are. But I think Zoe comes out on top. And she has a really great dynamic. Even though there's not a lot of story to those games, she has a great dynamic with the other characters. And I fucking love Zoe. So those are my ladies on the lady list.
I love it.
Nice. All right.
I can go next because I'm next on the list. And I picked three, and I don't think these are, like, my ultimate female protagonists, but when I was a kid playing, these were the two that had the most impact on me. Because when I was younger, let's see, it was mid-90s probably when I really started playing video games, and we had the Lara Crofts, and we had Seamus Loran, who's originally a dude anyway, and few other, what's that?
We will talk about that later, I hope.
Okay, we can definitely do that. But the first game I played start to finish was Resident Evil 2 with Claire Redfield as the protagonist, and then after I played Resident Evil 2, I went and played 1, and then 3 came out, and I played 3, and Jill Valentine, was in those two, and there were some problematic moments I remember when I was young, but
costuming.
Especially. Right. So especially, I remember vividly with Claire, they make a few big deals out of her being a woman, but, well done. But, for the most part, I thought they were strong. They were more clothed than the Lara Croft was at the time. They had sort of less accentuated features and such. And also, Mortal Kombat was my favorite game at the time, which was the worst.
Yeah, but fuck yeah, anyway.
Oh, fuck yeah, Mortal for sure. Kombat. Fuck yeah. Mortal Kombat, fuck yeah. Absolutely. But as far as female protagonists goes, these were the two...
Right.
Who actually wore some clothes. Who wore clothes that were strong, that were able to basically light the shit up, so... Those are the two.
And they were the first real female protagonists that did wear clothes.
Well, exactly. I mean, really
to be perfectly honest. Yeah.
I mean, Miss Pac-Man had a bow, but...
Unless we want to talk about Samus, Seamus, however we want to pronounce her name, because no one really knows. But we'll do that later.
But they programmed Seamus as a guy, and at the end they said, oh, wouldn't it be funny
if she was
up at the end and she's a chick.
But that ended up being a really extraordinary move, and I hope we talk about that.
Well, we can talk about it right now.
Well, we can.
Yeah.
Because my husband and I were discussing this earlier. Because he said, oh, it doesn't matter because you don't know and she doesn't really have a personality, so it doesn't really have any impact on the game. And I said, but that's exactly why that move was important.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you play through the whole first game just assuming it's a dude because you're kicking ass, and then at the end you're like, oh, holy shit, it's a girl, and there's no other statement.
But I think it's like kind of double-sided. Like, that is 100% true, but at the same time, it starts a reign of female-skinned male characters.
Yeah.
Where they take any female...
That still has not gone away.
That still has not gone away.
Yeah.
So I agree, it was important, it was wonderful, for all the reasons you say, especially because they didn't make a big deal out of it, but it also sort of spawned an archetype that is still problematic.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, there's nothing
not
easy
perfect.
About
for
women
sure.
in games, unfortunately.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay, next.
Nicole, what you got?
I got... Well, first I have a question. Does FemShep count? Does she count?
I was wondering that, too. But I was debating about it because she is, like, it is the same or close to the same as playing male Shep. So I was like, I'm not sure, since it's like not much really changes other than like romance possibilities and that sort of thing. Even though Femme Shep is definitely a better shepherd.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay, well.
Way better shepherd.
I discussed this earlier.
Yeah, and this is a good question, right? Because here's some things to consider before I answer this, right? is it that Femme Shep is a better character just because she is Femme Shep? Or is Femme Shep a better character because of the way that we play her and interpret her? Right? Because I think that's a, I'm gonna wait. Never mind. Go ahead.
Can you say yes to both of those things?
Yeah, like, can it be both?
I think so.
Okay. Talk about it.
I think that Femme Shep is a great example of why we should have more female protagonists, because everybody I know fucking played a Femme Shep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And everybody loved it. And it made the game so much richer and more interesting. And so, obviously, female characters don't necessarily fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Especially at a big shooter game like this. I mean, this is a huge series. It's shooter.
I call it a shooter.
It's an RPG.
Yeah.
It's, but there's a...
Shoot, but it doesn't make it a shooter.
I think that it tailors itself to a shooter audience a lot of times.
Okay, that's fair.
So... And that's usually, I think that's like the biggest problematic audience as far as where the female protagonist can come in.
You mean where we were talking about the Call of Duty bros earlier?
Yeah. Something like that.
Bros of Duty.
I don't know. I mean, we talked about it on a podcast a while ago now about her being the biggest like example of the Ripley effect.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like Jennifer Hale's voice acting for her is so much, it's so wildly better than the voice acting for the bro Shep. And she just creates so much more of a connection for me as far as the character goes. So I think not only is she the better character, but she's also the better, wow, now my brain just stopped working.
I'm raising my hand here because, full disclosure, I have never observed a bro Shep in action.
Me either. Well, I've heard people playing it, though. But, I mean, I've seen people play it, and I've heard, like, I have a lot of people on Tumblr who play both.
Bro Shep is bro Shep.
My husband played both, but I never saw it.
There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is definitely bro Shep.
Yeah, you should go on YouTube and just watch.
Oh, no, I take that back. I started a game with Bro Shep so that I could hook him up with Caden. Mm. So I played Bro Shep for, like, I don't know, 2 hours.
Hold on now. Caden is with my Femme Shep, so let's not.
Oh, my Femme Sheps were all lesbians. They were Grace Jones. Crazy, angry black women.
But that was very heterosexist of you, Nicole, in assuming that people cannot be bisexual.
But no, I'm not saying. I'm saying that she can't steal my man. Don't steal my man.
Kate, that's my man. I can't help that.
He can be with all the dudes he wants as long as he comes home to me at night.
But then was she? And you made an interesting point. You said all your Femme Sheps have been lesbian. Alex and I had this discussion once when we were writing an article, and I have said that Femme Shep is always already lesbian.
Now that's an interesting angle to discuss. Does she have to be a lesbian? And if so, what does that say about our expectations?
Well,
about
always already isn't necessarily has to be. It's about a disposition before she even comes into existence because of her very attributes.
Yeah.
That the female options for lovers were better in the games.
I think so too.
Yeah. Definitely.
So if you're a Femme Shep, you gravitate toward that because the dudes are less cool.
They suck, yeah.
I felt like when I watched all the romance videos just to see how they all play out, each couple, and I really think that a lot of the male chefs ones were very like revolving around sex, and then a lot of the femme chef ones had a lot more of like intimate connections, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I found that more rich and more rewarding.
Yeah.
But I am a woman, so.
Oh, no, honey. Believe me when I say that you can be just in it to fuck it. As a
woman. I like you.
Oh, I do my best.
Yeah.
Nothing against my husband, whom I love deeply. But in the before time, in the long, long ago.
In the long, long ago.
So I want to say, can I give a shout out here to my friend, Jason, who's listening or will be listening when we post this, who, when we were having this discussion about the lack of female protagonists, he said, and I want to quote him, I want you to slap anybody who uses the phrase, the word femchef. And I was like, why? That's just the word that we use to differentiate femchef and brochef. And he said, no, my shepherd was a chick, and she wasn't a fucking femchef. She was Commander fucking Shepherd, just the same as if she was a guy. Don't diminish her and make her femchef. And I was like, whoa, that's really interesting.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
First of
because
all, you're saying it's diminishing
to be a woman.
Well,
yeah.
He didn't say that. That was the attitude that came across.
But that's the attitude that's argued all the time.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, no, don't wear pink because that's diminishing. It's
no.
Like, or,
but
no,
I do
no,
want
to
I do want to say that was my addition.
Sorry,
he didn't say that. Jason, you're a down bro. And I love you. And he's my
you're
son's
godfather.
I'm sure no one thinks you meant that, but that line of argument is used all the time, and it continually diminishes anything female.
Right, but I think
yeah.
he wants to get the point across that there was never any doubt. He was never going to play a dude chef, a bro chef, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was always going to play a femme chef in his universe as he created the worlds in Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
Shepard was a woman, and it didn't matter. It was never an issue.
Yeah. Well, my shepherd has always been a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Mine.
Me too.
And my husband played both, like we've talked about. But for me, shepherd was always a woman. It was never an option. I played two different ones. I played a Latina chef and a black chef.
Mm-hmm.
I never played a white chef.
Yeah, me either. I played a Latino and a white chef. I mean, and a black chef.
I always play black ladies if I have the option. I don't know what that says about me. Probably nothing good.
That's interesting.
Why not?
I don't know.
Probably nothing good.
Yeah, I was going to say, why is that not good?
I really want Afro Puffs, and I can't have them. So, those of you at home, I just actually made a gesture.
With Afro Puffs. What you need to play is you need to play the Herbs. That old original DS game. Be black. You have to wear Afro Puffs.
When I read that, I thought about that and my desire for Afro Puffs. I was like, yes, Afro Puffs are awesome.
All right.
Sarah?
Did I get my second one?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, aside from wanting to put Shell down, just because I'm also in the world of Valve, I think Alex Vance is, like, one of the best female characters in... I mean, okay. I didn't want to put that out there. She's a great female character in a game.
Especially for the time when her...
Right.
Yeah.
She's very headstrong. She doesn't take flack from anyone. She holds her own. You're never really protecting her. She has that, you know, she has dog or doggy or whatever she's calling it at the time. But, I mean, it's just a robot that she grew up with that was built by her dad to protect her. Like, she's awesome. She is, and I know she's not a protagonist, so maybe she doesn't count. But I still...
Yeah, I do too.
Still want to give her honorable
mention. My extra options were, like, maybe not protagonists. So I'm with you. And we have so few to choose from.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, even though I was dissing on The Last of Us earlier, I would argue for Ellie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already seen articles about that.
And you play as her for a while.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Sarah, what you got?
Okay. Well... Full disclaimer, I am, again, a very Mirror's Edge fangirl, but I really love Faith. And I think that, again, she wasn't explored as much in the actual game as she was with the game partnered with the comic. And that's kind of a whole other issue, but basically, Rihanna Pratchett didn't get a lot of what she wrote for the game got cut. So, But that's a whole, yeah, that's a whole nother debate. But I really love Faith. Again, it's kind of like the same sort of thing with Shell. You're also from her first person perspective. They don't, in the game, they don't make her any sort of like issue with her being a girl or really bring it up at all. She's also, I believe her, she's half like Asian. Mm-hmm. So she's also like a person of color, and I think that's really neat. Oh yeah.
Isn't it interesting that female protagonists are almost always biracial?
Mm-hmm. What is up with that?
Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to do one thing, you might as well do all the things.
That's right, cover them up.
It's like cover your bases. It's like, let's make them black, Latino, lesbian, choose, and like female.
Chef, quote unquote, fem chef. If you can choose, you can make her whatever you want. But if it's a fixed female protagonist, so often biracial.
That's true.
Yeah, I suppose that's not necessarily a bad thing.
But it's usually the redeeming white blood that makes them acceptable.
Oh, except
I mean, honestly,
so great. White
blood. It's the redeeming white blood, right? Because I mean, if you think about it, think about your fully African American, your fully Hispanic, or even your fully Asian characters, right? Yeah. They are stereotypes. Yeah. It is only the redeeming white blood that makes them that makes it possible for them not to be stereotypes.
Whereas I, in the real world, feel like my ass would only be acceptable in the African American Union.
like my specific
actual ass.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean, and we'll talk more about that at some point, I'm sure. But
we should do a whole podcast on race if we haven't.
On the redeeming white blood.
I'm sure you have, but we should do another one.
I feel like, Sam, you've written about it.
A little bit, maybe. Yeah.
You've written about it?
Yeah, and I have heard it comes up a lot in fiction. Is that when people do make the characters biracial, there's some aspect, well, you know, to try and make it still be relatable to the white audience. But then at the same time, there's, you know, people who are in the biracial community who, you know, disagree. They, you know, they want representation too. So it's like, it's a very complicated issue.
I have written a few fictional characters who are biracial because I'm really interested in that idea of being in the middle, not one or the other. I had a good friend when I was in middle school who was biracial. Ever since then, I've been really interested in this idea because I watched her be not accepted by anyone. The schools that we went to were predominantly African-American, had a minority of white students, and no one accepted her as part of their groups. And I thought that was really interesting. So it's something I've pursued in fiction a great deal since then. I usually have somewhere in the background, maybe, a biracial character, sometimes in the forefront, just because I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know I have some friends who are, like, half from, like, an indigenous tribe and then also half, you know, half white or something like that. And it's like, they don't want to identify as white, but then it's also people are like, well, you're not, you know, you don't have enough blood to be considered, you know, Native American or whatever bullshit that is. So
that's an actual,
there's that issue
for that kind of stuff. Like, you have to be a certain percentage, certain.
Yeah. Well, but it's not half. It's like some crazy. It's like 16th. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even like a fourth. So,
as an African American, I would like to say that because African American racial. Biological racial makeup is so diffused that we would not have that issue within the African American community. But if nothing else, President Obama's presidency has shown us that is not the case.
Right.
I mean, even when he was running for, you know, when he was running for president, he was too black for the white people and too white for the black people. Not all of them, but some people. So. This was before he was president.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, and even now, as president, you're still having that issue. And that, I think, you know, is crazy because, you know, shit, it's the 21st fucking century. you know.
Not we, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All Republicans, but well, what I'm saying.
Not that there are Republicans. Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting one. Yeah. All right. And your second one, Sarah?
Okay. So this one will take a little more but explanation. This was a game that I played a lot when I was younger, and it was one of my first more the games that I just got really into. And it was I'm picking also Yuna from Final Fantasy X. And I don't think she's on a lot of people's lists. And she's not what initially comes to mind when you usually think of like strong. Because I feel like a lot of times that you think, oh, like, well, a character who is, you know, physically strong and also probably smart, but there's also usually that, like, physical aspect there. And she's not, obviously, she's not physical. And at the start of the game, she's not really, she has quite a big crew that are kind of, like, acting as her guardians. And so there's that aspect. But I feel like through the game, she grows a lot. And I thought that that was something that really stood out to me, and especially the devotion she has for her friends and the courage she has for going through the journey, knowing that she's going to die, but she's totally okay with it. Mm-hmm. And then even as she, you know, even at the end when she takes on the role, she's like their biggest savior, you know, and she's talking, making a speech about how you should never, you know, not forget all of the like hardships that brought you to the point where you were and everything. And I just feel like she was strong in a different way from a lot of the other characters that tend to be on these lists.
Okay. I'll go for that. All right. So do we want to make this my turn since everybody wants to know?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So this is a difficult one for me. And we've talked about this before because one of my favorite characters has always been Lara Croft.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And because, you know, this was like way back in the day when Lara Croft was like the first, because I've been gaming for a long time at this point. Right. When the first Lara Croft comes out in 99.
This was
97. Huh?
Nothing.
Was it
97? I think it was
97. I gotta look it up.
I know, but anyway, keep on.
When the first Lara Croft comes out, so I'm so happy to see a female protagonist at this point who is a strong character, who can do any number of different things, who does not have to count on you know, a man to help her along in her adventures. You know, even if she is scantily clad, right, at that point, you know, in the late 90s, it's just like you're getting the best that you can get at that point. So I was kind of disappointed when the Tomb Raider reboot came out. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think that Lara Croft becomes the Lara Croft that we need her to be, the positive female protagonist at the end of Tomb Raider. So I would like to claim.
I'm excited that you just said that, but continue.
It's the end. It's not the entire game. It is not the beginning. It is not the middle. It is the end, right? So that being said, I want to claim that my favorite female protagonist is Lara Croft, as she will be.
Sure.
In the series of the Tomb Raider reboot.
Do you think they'll screw it up though?
No.
No? Okay.
Don't bust my bubble, damn you.
I'm just saying. I'm just wondering.
You never know, though.
Because you were so, like, you're like, I'm so excited for Tomb Raider, but I know they're going to screw it up. So I just wondered if you thought that about the next one.
Well, it's hard to say. I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic.
Sounds good to me.
Good.
Well, that's kind of like the Mirror's Edge reboot, you know? They're not using Rihanna Pratchett. I don't even know who's writing it now. So it's like, what are they going to do with Faith? Is she going to be the same? Like, and it's like an actual reboot instead of like a sequel. So then there's that issue. So I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So, and I would say that my second female character that I'm going to choose and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'm going to choose it over and over again, is April Ryan from The Longest Journey.
Yeah, April Ryan. No one had any doubt.
Yes! No one has dethroned April Ryan.
She wears a t-shirt. There's never...
and jeans.
And jeans. And there's never been a female character.
She wears a t-shirt and jeans.
That's true.
Right, she grows as a character, she learns as a character, and she brings people along with her. That is why April Ryan is going to be my favorite. And will always be my favorite until someone comes along and dethrones her.
Which probably will never happen.
It will never happen.
Don't say that.
No, hopefully it will happen. Hopefully it will.
Yeah.
I'll try and make it happen.
Yeah, there you go. Mission in life.
Your mission in life. Your mission if you choose to accept it. So those are my two. That was fun.
That was fun.
It was hard, too.
It was
very really
sad is that it was hard.
Yeah. Not hard because you have so many choices, certainly.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like, oh, there are so many to choose from. Now I have to choose two. It's like, damn. I got to choose two, huh? Wow.
Oh.
All right. So we'll do our deals for broke-ass gamers. Now all of our broke-ass gamers are probably even more broke because the Steam sale just ended. Yay!
Yep. Yay. No money.
I won't tell you about any deals. Even though I did the weekend deal at Steam, have you seen it? I thought about you immediately. The Command & Conquer games are like 70% off of Steam.
Oh, I did see that. Alex, it's all you.
I know. It's not going to happen.
I immediately thought of you. So you can get the Command & Conquer games for 70% off like $6. Darksiders 2 is 80% off for like $10. Crusader Kings 2 is on sale. Which I bought like on the last year's Steam sale and I still haven't played, but 75% off for like $10.
I just bought that.
I can't believe that game is still $40 regular price. Then, like I said, and I think we're in that slowdown cycle that there's still not a whole lot of stuff that's going to be on like mega sale because we're waiting for we're a couple of months out from the new gen consoles. But we've got stuff like at Amazon. If you haven't played Assassin's Creed 3 yet, you can get it on the cheap right now for $20. Metro Last Light, which is another good one you can get for $40 basically if you're playing it on the PS3, $30 if you're playing it on the PC. And if you're like waiting for Call of Duty Ghosts and want to play Black Ops 2, you can get that one for about $45. So there's a couple things out there that are waiting in the wings, kind of on the cheap. But they're there. You can check them out and see how that goes for you. Right?
Hooray!
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 I'll start thinking of the Guinness commercial. Hooray, beer! Only me.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess that will be it, right? Yeah. So, hooray!
Yeah, you guys are hungry, I'm sure.
Already eating, full disclosure.
Yeah, Alex.
Oh, man. Already.
Yeah.
I'm not
gonna
look at these ribs and not eat them.
So, let's do a quick rundown. If you want to contact us, you can do it the usual way. You can email us at nymgamer@gmail.com. You can always follow our wonderful posts on the blog at nymgamer.com. You can like us on Facebook, Not Your Mama's Gamer. You can follow us on Twitter at nymgamer. Or you can stalk Alex Lane at her house. Just kidding.
You could.
You could. I would prefer to not stalk
you.
But you don't get ribs.
No, we've read our mind.
All those things being said, you can feel free to email us, send us video mail, send us, not hate mail, love mail, video mail, voicemail, anything you like. And you can email it to us at our email address, Or you can just participate in the wonderful conversations that take place on our blog. Mm-hmm. We welcome all of those things, even people who disagree with us, as long as you do so in a nice way.
Or respectful.
A respectful way, yes. That is very important. And we will engage you. We will not post your comments. We will not block you for being respectful and disagreeing. That's it.
Yeah.
That being said, until next week, join us for episode 60. Wow, 60. Yep. Can you believe it?
60, ma'am.
Join us for episode 60, where we will talk about something else that's very interesting.
Last of Us, maybe.
Last of Us, maybe. We'll talk about it.
So.
So until then, it's like cold outside now. I was going to say cool. Stay warm. Stay warm. Stay dry. And as always, game on.
Game on.